That last verse says, I love to tell the story. For those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. Yes. You think through our lifetime how many times we have heard the story of Jesus, and yet I'm happy to hear it again. Yes. And in fact, that's what I would like to share with you again this afternoon. Because Christmas Day is over. We like in December, Cheryl sometimes will put out a manger scene to be a reminder to us of that season. You know what happens to the manger scene just after Christmas? Put it in a box and set it back for till next year to view it again. But you know, that's not the end of the story. It's only just the beginning of the story. And I was thinking, even though I put the manger scene up, I have thoughts go through my mind of things I wish I knew about the birth of Christ. You know, God just didn't see that he cared much, that we know very much about the beginning of Jesus. We find maybe there will be even just a tiny little verse that'll tell us just some little small part of Jesus' life and will give us no more information than that. And I found a verse that I'd like for us to start with this evening. Isaiah 55 and 8 to me explains why I don't get more information about parts of Jesus' life. It says in the 8th verse, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, for myself, I like to read a biography of somebody's life that is famous. Maybe they worked hard. Maybe they started out very poor, but they worked hard. You know, I like to see some details of through their life, not just they were born poor and now 50 years later they're wealthy. I like to see how they were able to do that. Well, I have the same interest in Jesus' life. I see little pieces. And I find out, I see just a little tiny piece where an angel warned Joseph to take the child and flee to Egypt. Now, you know, I'd like to be able to read about how, it doesn't even tell us how long he was in Egypt. It just tells us maybe a couple verses later that another angel appears to him and says, okay, now you can go back to Israel. And the rest is a blank. It's just left out there. You can spend time wondering what happened in that period of time. I find over in the second chapter of Luke, we find just very small pieces, because you know, we really don't start finding much out about Jesus until his ministry began. And I think there's a reason for that. God doesn't want us spending a whole lot of time looking at the other things, because here's what's the main importance that should be flashing to us. Didn't give us a time to be able to tell, okay, December 25 was the date. We feel almost sure it wasn't the date. So none of those things matter so much. But I was looking over in the second chapter of Luke how little description God saw fit for us to be able to see about it. In Luke 2 and 16 is where we see about Jesus' birth. And then we find a couple verses later where he was taken to the temple at 8 days old. And then we find almost nothing more. Throughout that second chapter, I noticed in the 40th verse of the second chapter, the child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That's just about all we see about it. And then we tell about where at 12 years old he went to Jerusalem and his parents didn't have him coming back and they went back to get him. And he tells them, don't you know that I ought to be about my father's business? 12 years old, we just get a little clip. So what happened from 12 to 30? We see then over in the 51st verse of the second chapter. Just a little piece. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. That's all we see for the next many years going by. Because you know what? That's not what God wanted us to focus on. He had something else that was much more important for us to focus on. He wanted our focus to be on the last 3 years more than the first 30. And I remember the song that is sung sometime, the story did not end in the manger. It went all the way to the cross. And that last part was what was the most important thing that God wanted us to be able to find out about. And you know what? He gave us, it's not that he wasn't interested in detail, because he gave us a whole lot of detail about the things that he saw to be very important. He caused those things to be passed down to us. Something for us to remember year-round is the verse over in Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born. You know what? That's value was not just for December 25. It's just a reminder to us. He was born, and the government is going to be on his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful. There was another verse that says, the people that sat in darkness, they saw a great light. You know, I think of the people before, my understanding is that before Christ came, there was 400 years that there was no prophet that gave them information. It was just a quiet time. The people that sat in darkness saw a great light. What a time that must have been when Jesus came. And you know what he came to do? He came back then to do something that he still wants to do today, and that's to be able to bring about change. And I would like for us to take a look at some of the change that he's willing, that he wants to bring about, that he did bring about back then. You know, when he came, they had an expectation of who Christ was going to be. He was going to deliver them from the trouble that they were in. You know, many times we have the same, I can have the same vision of Christ. I want to serve Christ because he's going to deliver me from all of my problems. I'll have no problems if I serve him. That's not why he came. That's not why he came to the Jews at that time. He would leave them in captivity, but he would bring a peace to them no matter what was happening. He will sometimes leave us in our troubles, but bring us a peace, not depending on our troubles relenting. That's the wonderful part about Christ coming. But there were some things that he wanted to be able to do. There's a verse over in Romans. Romans in the 12th chapter and in the 21st verse. Look at this change that he wants to be able to do. 20th verse. If your enemy hungers, feed him. What a different concept. If he thirsts, give him drink. In so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Remember, Jesus gave us what we call the golden rule. As you would that men would do to you. It doesn't say what they do to you determines what you do back to them. But as you would have them do to you, you do so to them. That was his mission. And the change that comes about in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. I want to always remember this verse. This is the test. If any man be in Christ, he will be a new creature. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. Jesus' mission was not, I appreciate the message that Brother Marty brought. His mission tells about he came with a mission. He had a plan. And we read about part of it this morning, Sister Maxine did in 2 Peter 3. His mission is that he's not willing that any would perish, but that everyone would be able to come to repentance. So that's his desire. It was his desire back then. And one thing that stood out to me was in the 8th chapter of John, when the woman was brought before him that was caught in adultery. You know, he could have just, here's the law, chop, you're gone. Yes, that's what should be done. But you know how he dealt with that? It's amazing how he dealt with it. Because you know what? He had a mission. for the Pharisees, for the ones that brought her to him. He had a mission that he didn't want them to be lost. So I don't know what he wrote in the dust. Whatever it was, it caused them to leave one by one. The mission had come to them also. He wasn't interested in just one person. I want to save this woman that's caught in adultery. No, he wanted to save the others also. So he revealed some things to them and gave them an opportunity that, you know what, they could have all repented at the same time there and gotten help. But they left out. But what did he tell her? Neither do I condemn thee. Now, go and sin no more. You know, that is the same call that we have in our world today, to the religious world today. He did not come to condemn them. He came to save them. But he leaves everyone with that message. Now, go and sin no more. Make a change in your life. There's a song, and maybe Robert and Julie have sung it before. There's been a change in my life since the day that Jesus came and took all sin and strife. And then it says, since that day that Jesus came, praise God, there has been a change. You know what? He is able to cause a change to come in our life, different than it used to be. There is part of that song says, I no longer walk the way I used to walk. I no longer talk the way I used to talk. The warnings that was given, let's look there in 2 Peter 3 that Sister Maxine was looking at today. Because, you know, really, this morning's message affects this afternoon's message. Because this one says, you know what, if you see, as you see this day approaching, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, this is in the 14th verse of the third chapter of 2 Peter, be diligent that ye may be found in him without spot and blameless. And the 11th verse, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So whenever I look at those verses, it tells me, you know what, if I'll take the message this morning and really take it to heart, eternity is coming for me. Yes. Whether it's the end of all things or whether it's just my end, it's marching. And that song that we sang, let's not even think about that as being the end of all things. Let's think about that song as being my life. Time onward flows like a river vast. My days are just flowing right on by. And swiftly I'm coming down to where I go out into eternity. So seeing all those things, how should I be living is the important thing for us. I no longer walk the way I used to walk. If any man be in Christ, he will be a new creature. The religious world around us says there's a reason that Jesus came. He came to take away the sins of his people, and he surely did. But what he does for that is the same thing he did for the woman caught in adultery. I don't condemn you, but now don't go back out and sin again. And I'm thankful that he has the power to be able to help us. There was a verse or story in the 9th chapter of John where Jesus healed the blind man, and then Jesus moves on. And the blind man, the people are pretty happy that he's being able to see, but they take him to the Pharisees because there's a problem. He got healed on the Sabbath day, and there's no way you're supposed to do anything on the Sabbath day. You think Jesus didn't know it was a Sabbath day and, oops, I wouldn't have done it if I'd have known it was a Sabbath day. No, he was working his work. So you remember there were some things in the 9th chapter where it talks about this man's a sinner. He healed you on the Sabbath day. Give God the praise because this man's a sinner. I love the way he answered it. He said, I tell you, I don't know about all that, but one thing I do know, I was blind. and now I see. Y'all can figure all that other out. You remember where they brought him up and said, okay, explain it to us. And he explained it. And then they went and got his parents and said, okay, have his parents tell. Well, they were scared. So they said, hey, I tell you what, he's of age, go ask him. So they asked him again. You'll find in that ninth chapter, they asked him three times. And finally he said, well, I've already told you all this story. Are you wanting to be one of his followers also? They weren't interested in being his follower. In fact, they threw him out. But I look at that. The mission that Jesus made, you know, his mission for that one man was literal eyesight. But you know what? His mission for us, for many of us, was for our spiritual eyesight. And that is more valuable for us than the literal. And Sister Maxine gave that verse this morning in Luke 4 and 18. Part of that mission was there was something that he had a plan for. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In the 4th chapter and in the 18th verse, it says, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Sight to the blind, spiritual or physical. And I was thinking of this song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. You know what? There was a time when I was blind, yes, but now I see. You know, folks, when we were in sin, we were blind, every one of us, not able to see. And Jesus came along with amazing grace, and I'm so thankful for it. We have a song, number 417. It says, once I sighed for peace and pleasure, I felt a painful void within. Life was gloomy, death a terror, till my soul was saved from sin. Said, sin made all my life so bitter. Jesus makes it sweet and pure. Now I'm free from every fetter, blessed with peace forevermore. What a blessing from the Lord that I can go from sighing for peace and pleasure, having a void within. And it says, is there here a soul in trouble? Whosoever needs a friend, Jesus' love your heart will gladden, bless and keep you to the end. What a promise that he has made for us. Talk about change. There was another man that saw change. It's over in Mark in the 5th chapter. This man may have seen as much change come in his life as anyone. Mark 5, starting in the first verse. These first few verses tell about the man named Legion, where they had tried to bind him and they could not do it. A man met him out of the tombs with an unclean spirit, had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. And it says, 5th verse, always night and day. What a miserable existence. He was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But look at this 6th verse. He saw Jesus afar off, and he ran and worshiped him. Now that's amazing. The Pharisees back in the 9th chapter of John saw a man that was healed from blindness. And they said, glorify God, this man is a sinner. This man, Legion, has an unclean spirit. But it says, when he saw Jesus, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? What a revelation to a person. What does that verse make you think of? The devils also believe. They know who Christ is without a doubt. There's no question in Satan's mind. They believe and tremble. And it says, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." That's where Jesus delivered him. His mission, that was Jesus' mission. And I thought of the religious leaders of that time. If they would have only had that same revelation of who Christ was, but they didn't see it. So I was thinking of this. What would the neighboring community say when they see Legion changed? They saw him. They came out and saw him. But there had been some other things happen also. There were 2,000 swine that had run off into the sea and were choked because the spirits were allowed to go into them. And the ones that were paid for taking care of them took off in town and told the owners. Well, you know what? Somebody from the community is coming back out and they're asking Jesus, even though they see the man sitting clothed in his right mind, they have one thing. Would you please leave this country? Yes. Why? Soon the economy is going to be gone as far as pigs if he heals people always that way. They see it as just, this was a big expense for us, for him to come. You remember that man told Jesus, "I want to go with you." Yes. That seemed like a good thing to do. Jesus, take him along with you, that he will never be tempted by Satan again. Did Jesus take him with him?
No.
Mm-mm. He said, "I tell you what I want you to do. Go back into your town and tell the things that God has done for you." What does he have to tell? What's the mission that he has to tell? Kind of like this amazing grace. "I once was lost, but now I'm found. One time I was blind, but now I can see." And he went back with his story. And you know what? He must have had some kind of a convincing message that he gave them, just telling what had been done for him. We have a song that we sing. "Have you found rest and peace within? Rolled far away your load of sin? Stepped from the old life to the new? Tell what the Lord has done for you." Says, "Oh, tell what he's done for you of his love so strong and true, because others may need him too." I think of the effect of Legion going back to his town. Well, he had been among the tombs before. But when he now is in his right mind and able to go back and witness to the people for what God has done for him. You know, I read that later on, Jesus came again. And he was welcome to the area. So this man must have gave a good testimony to a lot of people of what had been done for him. There is something here in Ezekiel. Jesus is in the business of making a change, not just doing a patch. I was looking at Ezekiel 36 and 26. "A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you.
Yes.
I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and I'll cause you to walk in my statutes and you shall keep my judgments and do them." The message for us, Jesus came to take away the old stony heart and give us a heart of flesh, a soft heart. And for the time we're living in, I think about, there's been times when I have gone to a tire shop, needed a repair, the thing's leaking air. And maybe you can get a quick job done of putting a plug in it or a quick patch. But you know what? It's also best to get you a brand new tire that you don't have to worry about anymore. And this is what Christ's mission is for us today. And may I be able to see, you know what, this isn't just a baby in a manger,
yes,
but this is something that all year long I can rejoice that he is able to help. You know, sometimes we think of the change as being just, if I were a sinner and now I'm a Christian and change has come to an end, not so. You know what? Change has only just begun. God wants to work with us from the time we get saved until the time we die, making some adjustment, making some changes in our life. We sing that song, More Like Christ, My Heart is Praying. How's he going to be able to do that with me? He's going to have to bring some things, show some things, have some things bubble up in my life to where I can see, you know what? That one was not like Christ, and that I have a desire. I won't settle for less. He came with a mission to be able to help me at the end, that I would not perish, but I could have life everlasting. So these people that we read about today, the change that came about in their life, is the same can be done for us. There's a song, and Robert, maybe if you could find it, I'd like for us to sing it as we close. The title of it is, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Well, that's telling about salvation, but what has happened since then? I was looking at some of the verses of it. Said, what a wonderful change in my heart has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. You know, some people, salvation is I just continue living the same way I have lived in the past, but I believe that Christ died for me. This says, I've ceased from my wandering and going astray. And it says, and my sins, which were many, they're all washed away. I am thankful for that. And then it says, I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure since he came into my heart. And you know, every one of us are headed for the time that Sister Maxine talked about this morning. Whether it is the last day of my life or whether it's the end of all things. But you know what? Since he came into my heart, there's something else that is intended to happen. It says, there's a light in the valley of death now for me since Jesus came into my heart. And the gates of that city beyond I can see. You know, Jesus never intended, when he told us, I'm going to prepare a place for you, I don't think he ever intended that to make us feel like it's punishment. I wonder if he intended for us to look forward to the day that he calls us to heaven. I wonder if he intended us to say, if earth is this great, he made it for us to enjoy, what is heaven going to be like? Yes. He tells us in Colossians 3:1, if you then be risen with Christ, what should we be doing? Should I see how much wealth I need to accumulate because I'm not going to be here too long? If you then be risen with Christ, start seeking those things which are above. Yes. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. The more I set my affections on things above, when it looks like I'm coming closer to walking off and leaving this, it will be easier. Yes. May we take the message that we heard this morning. We know it. There's no one that will live forever. People have died for years. We just take a couple years ago, Brother Lauren was right here with us. Mm-hmm. We would have never have expected him to be gone. Yes. And especially the older ones here, you could start writing down on a list many, many people that have gone out into eternity. And now my day is drawing closer. May I be able to see the change that Jesus came? It was his mission. He wanted to be able to make changes in my life. So he brings some things to us. Yes. He causes some afflictions to come. to us. And you know what we want? We have one prayer. Take them away. Yes. I don't want any trouble. I want to be able to enjoy this life to the fullest. Yes. And maybe it's part of my ticket to be able to be one of those that he said he's not willing that any would perish. That I would be able, you know, one of the best things that prepares us is to start seeing, you know what, my life could be quickly leaving me. And it's amazing how quick I can convert from this was valuable. I watched it with Dad. Dad didn't have anything much, but he had little temporal things that he enjoyed doing. He loved working on lawnmowers. He had parts outside that he could repair people's lawnmowers with. And, you know, that kind of thing was valuable to him. But there came a time when I could have walked up and taken it all and sold it, and it didn't matter to him because he realized, you know what, I'm not staying here anyhow. Yes. May we be able to live a balanced life, to be able to let God do the changes with us that need to be done so that on the day that he would call for us, on the day that this morning's message comes down to fit us, that we would be able to say like John did right at the end of the book, yes, when Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. I don't want to say, Lord, I'm going to need a couple of years to fix up all the things that I have left in shambles in my life before I'm ready to go. I want to have everything clear to where just like John, I can say, even so come, yes, Lord Jesus. He desires that for all of us. Yes.